Now we come to this here, and I think I can probably save a little time if I don't read too much of this. But at verse 16, now they're going to have the victory over Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise, and behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. Now that was at midnight. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets, brake the pitchers that were in the hands, and the three companies blew the trumpets, brake the pitchers, and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hand to blow withal, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the hosts ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the hosts. And the host fled to Beth Chittah in Zererath, and to the border of Abel Meholah unto Tabath. Now, this is the record that's given here. And notice the strategy of Gideon. He takes the 300, puts them in three groups. They're given three things: pitchers, lamps, and trumpets. Now, the lamps are put down in the pitchers, and that means that the light went up so that they could not see it. You know, light, when it's put up at night into the sky, you don't see anything around you at all. And this was the thing they did, and then they took trumpets. And they talk about the trumpet of the Lord and the trumpet of Gideon. Fine, but the interesting thing is that they said it was the sword of Gideon, but there weren't any swords. Now, you will recall, the Midianites were a nomadic people. This is something that the scholarly work of Bernie Musel, Breasted, and Garstan, they all tell about the fact that at this time, there were these nomadic tribes of the desert that began to raid the land of Israel and to seize the crops and their supplies. And the Midianites and Amalekites, they were among those Bedouins of the desert. Now, they had a very loose organization. They moved as a disorganized nomads through the desert, and they were not an organized army. So here they set guards around the camp, of course, but all the people are asleep. They're just sleeping here, there, and yon, and no organization whatsoever. And nobody expects anybody to attack at night. Begin with, you couldn't see. Now, here comes Gideon, and he posts 100 of his men on this side, one on the other side, one around on the other. So these men, the thing they did, they blew with the trumpets, they broke the pitchers, and the light shone out. And when they blew the trumpets, each trumpet would represent that there were probably several hundred of the enemy present. Well, imagine one of these Midianites waking out of a sound sleep. The first thing he did, he started whacking with his sword in every direction. Well, the Israelites don't have swords. All that they did was just hold the light so that one Midianite could go after another Midianite. And you talk about a riot, was a riot. And they took to the tall timber and they went over the hill. They got out of that area, and this gave a tremendous victory to Gideon with just a few, you see. Now, there are some very wonderful lessons that are here. First of all, let me go back to this matter of the dew on the fleece. I want to look at that for just a moment. You know, the very interesting thing, we need God today to do an interior job of decorating inside our own lives. We need to ask him for dew on our barren lives. You remember he says, I will be as dew upon Israel. God has said that several times. And you will find that in Deuteronomy 33:13, he says, "And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath." And then in Proverbs 19:12, "The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as dew upon the grass." And in Proverbs 3:20, "By his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew." And then in Psalm 133, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard." And that's the unity of the Spirit, by the way. The filling of the Spirit went down to the skirts of his garment as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And God has blessed in that way. And we need that touch. We need a fresh touch. We need the fresh touch like dew upon the rose bud and the grass in the morning. And we need a tender touch. You remember in Hosea 14, verse 5, "I will be as dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon." Well, the lily is delicate. And he'll come down like rain upon the mown grass. Even when we're in trouble and he's cut us down, he'll come down like rain. Our Lord could weep over Jerusalem, but do we weep today over sinners? The publican could smite his breast and cry out about his sin, but what about us today? We need a touch from God. We need a touch from God that'll make us stable and strong and rooted and built up and grounded and settled, as Paul said to the Colossians. And the psalmist said in Psalm 57:7, "My heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed." And Paul could say, "From henceforth, let no man touch me." And friends, we need today the dew of God upon our lives to bring purity into our lives. Peter said in 2 Peter 3:14, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." We need that today. God only uses a clean cup. He says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And there, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. What a wonderful picture that you have there. But may I say, let's carry through on something else that is here. And this is a wonderful lesson, by the way. We are told today that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're just like those pitchers today. And some of us, you know, are not broken, and as a result, the light doesn't shine through. And again, Paul said, "Let no man glory in man." It's not our light that should shine, but the light of Jesus Christ should shine through us, and it can only shine in a broken life. "Ye shine as lights in the world," Paul said to the Philippians. And then, "If the trumpet give an uncertain sound," oh, I tell you, we need to be clear and clean today in our living, friends. What a message is here, a spiritual message in the story of Gideon, the man that God used. And he was a coward, but God used him. God chooses the weak things of this world, friends. And it's an encouragement to me. I hope it's an encouragement to you.